Now, you can go ahead and find Deuteronomy if you want, because we're going to be in Deuteronomy. But I want to start out with Psalm 33. Appreciate you being here this morning. God bless you for being here. Nice group. We had a pretty decent crowd in early service as well. Be honest with you, we brought all the early service people in here, we actually would be cramped, to be honest. We're kind of at that point where we'd actually be kind of cramped. We brought all the early service people in here, so I guess we'll just have to keep it that way. We've been talking about the last few weeks the curses. If you're visiting with us, it sounds terrible, but it's the truth. We live in an old sin-cursed world. When Adam and Eve sinned, God cursed the world. He cursed the ground. There's going to be thorns and thistles. Yes, that's where they came from. Weeds, you know, that's where they came from, right there. You can blame Grandpa Adam on that one. And the fact is, there's sin. That's why we die, because we have this old sin-cursed world. And yet, God will see us through this world if we'll let him do it. We can either live in this world by ourselves and try to take on the curse by ourselves, or God says in his mercy, he says, I will see you through this, but you're going to have to do it my way. In other words, God's not going to bless a mess. He's not going to bless the sin, but he will see us through. Now, every time we wake up in the morning, it's God's mercy. Every day he gives us breath to breathe, it's God's mercy. Every time we take a bite to eat, it's God's mercy. And so every time we put on clothes, it's God's mercy. On the other hand, God says he can show us some blessings if we will do things his way. And so we've been talking about that. And so we had a pretty nice group here for early service too. Y'all came back to hear the blessings, because we've been talking about the curses for the last few weeks, and that's no fun. Now, Psalm 33, I want you to look across this. We kind of started the curse section with this chapter, and I want to do the same thing here, because it's the same God that promises cursing when we do wrong. By the way, cursing, let me remind you, cursing is not God zapping us. This is not voodoo. This is not God trying to, he's mad at us, who's going to kick us while we're down. That's not what it is. When it says that God's going to curse us, what it really means is, because God tempts no man, he's not tempting himself, he doesn't do that. God is going to lift his hand of protection and allow you to live in this life of cursing all by yourself without his blessing. That's really what the curse is. God's not looking to do damage. But if you don't want him in your life, you don't want him telling you what to do, you're looking for him to protect you and provide for you, then he'll say, fine, you're on your own. But that leaves us to the curse. The curse is the default condition of this world. God's not out, he's not vindictive. He's not out trying to get us. But the fact is, if we don't want him, it's just like the prodigal son. The prodigal son could have stayed with dad and just been doing just fine. But he said, no, I want all my money. And then he kind of lied to dad. You know, well, just give me all my money. And then he leaves town. You know, and then he goes out and he wastes and so forth. And finally he came back. Now, dad didn't stop him. Dad didn't go after him. A lot of times we will go out and do our own thing. And then we get ourselves in trouble because we're left to the mercy of the world's destruction, and then we get mad at God because he shouldn't let that happen. I thought God is love. Yeah, well, you left his love. You left his love when you decided you didn't want him teaching you and directing you in your life. So you walked out from underneath the umbrella of God's protection. You wonder why you're getting rained on. What I want to talk to you today is what it's like living under the umbrella of God's protection. Let me read here, Psalm 33, verse number 1. Now, last week I ate one of these before I started preaching. You know what happened was I wasn't hungry, so I didn't stop early after all. Anyway, it was lunchtime came and go, and I was still doing fine, so I won't do that to you. But you got to eat these ahead of time, you know. But anyway, Psalm 33, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. For praise is comely, or fitting, proper, makes sense. Praise is comely for the upright. In other words, if you're doing right and pleasing God, you're going to have something from God that gives you a reason to praise him. You're going to see him working in your life. Verse 2. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with psaltery and instruments of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. And some of you sing with a loud noise. And that's okay. God says make a joyful noise, as we're supposed to. Now watch. If we will just stop fighting the Lord and simply surrender and obey the Lord, our lives will be something to sing about. It's a shame when Christians walk around, they don't have a song in their heart. You ever notice little kids when they're happy? They start to sing to themselves. Because they don't have a care in the world. They're just having a good time. You don't hardly even see it much anymore, but it used to be when somebody was working, having a good time. They're whistling and having a... You know, people don't do that like they did when I was growing up. You know why? Our society has walked so far from the Lord, we don't see the Lord's hand on our life. People used to walk in the fear of God, and then they noticed God working in their life. And they knew they all had problems, but the Lord's going to get us through, it'll be all right. And so here he says that we ought to be able to sing. Singing is an outward expression of inner joy. So I don't sing very well. God doesn't care about that. What he wants you to express your joy. All right. No, you don't sing because you have to. You sing because you want to. You sing almost because you can't help but sing. Because God has put a new song in my heart. Many shall see it and fear God and trust in him. Psalm 40, verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right. Boy, I wish we'd figure that out. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. God's not lying to you. God does what he's supposed to do. So in other words, remember the Lord is right. Even when you don't understand, the Lord is right. Even when it takes too long, the Lord is right. Even when no one else is doing it, the Lord is right. The Lord is right. Verse 5. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. God loves right. He wants to bless those who are doing right. He wants right things to happen. But we were the ones who put ourselves in that curse. Verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. He says these things. Remember, God created all this. He's the Lord of all the universe. So what he's about to tell you is true, and he can make it happen. He can make it happen. Verse 9. He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. What God says is true. It was true at creation. It will be true when all this is done. And it will be true all in between, beginning and the end. It's always true from every generation. God's word never gets out of date. It never expires. It never wears out. God's word is true. But you know what? Man's word, they come up with some idea. Have you ever noticed eggs are good for you, then they're bad for you? And then they're good for you, and then they're bad for you. And then they're good for you, and then they're bad for you. The world will say, this is truth. And a year and a half from now, it's not truth anymore. God's word is true and always will be true, and it doesn't change. So these principles that we're giving you, these are from God. They do not change. Now, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. God can make the blessings happen. We just saw that. He can do anything he wants. The Lord can supersede the curse and run interference for us and protect us from the evil one and the evil of this world. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Now, blessed is the nation that makes him our God. Now, I can choose not to have him as a God, but now I'm living in the curse all by myself. That's not blessed. Blessed is God running interference. Blessed God is superseding the curse. God says they're going to take care of you, or you can live like the rest of the world without my blessing. Look at verse 13. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. Do you ever wonder if you've ever thought God notices? God notices. Oh, he won't see this. Or he never sees me. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon the inhabitants of the earth. Now, some of you think that God won't notice if you do right, so why bother? God does notice, and he's watching for the opportunity to bless. He's watching for the opportunity to bless. Verse 15. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. So in other words, watch. What's the difference between somebody that's blessed and somebody who's not blessed? Some people say, well, you were just born that way. You were born lucky and God's... No, we're all the same. That's what we just said. We're all the same. We all have the same opportunity to be blessed or be left in the curse. There's no difference. Look what it says. Look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. He said, watch. He says, behold, well, I'm sorry. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. We all started out the same, but he's watching where our heart is. He's watching. Do I seek the Lord or do I forget the Lord? We're all started out the same. We have the same opportunity. And we can all be left in the curse if we want to. But we don't have to be. Look at verse 16. No, he's going to admonish you here. Now watch me. You all want to just do this on your own? You want to just live in the curse all by yourself? Remember, we're all living in the curse. But God said, I'll see you through it. Watch. He says, well, I want to remind you, there's no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. You know, I don't need to do all this stuff the Bible talks about. We're pretty strong. I've got this. I mean, look at our army. Look what we can do. That's what Mr. Putin said. These people will be nothing. Look what we can do. I don't need that. But he said, now, just so you know, you don't win the battle because you've got a big army. Mighty man is not delivered by much strength. Verse 17, an horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. You can have all the tanks and all the artillery you want. If God says you're not going to win, you're not going to win. But watch me. You say, well, they did. Yeah, that was one nation who's not living underneath the blessings of God, fighting another nation who's not living under the blessings of God. You understand that? And so whoever is strongest will probably win. But my God is greater than any of them. So what we say, we start saying, well, see, they won. They have, so we just got to have... No, what we need to do is get God, because as long as God is on our side, we're the majority. We're on the top. Verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. So what's the difference? You got this nation here that's not underneath the blessing of God because they're not doing God's word, God's truth. And we got another nation over here, and they're fighting, and they're doing their own thing. But now we got a little nation like Israel. Now, Israel has not been perfect, okay? And we know that. But God made a special deal with Israel. He says, I'm going to show the world throughout all time what it's like being blessed. And what it's like when you decide to walk away from God. So when they walked away from God, we all saw what happened to the Jews. But why are they still around? Why did he gather them again in 1948? Why did they win when they shouldn't have in the Six-Day War? Why is it God still keeps a remnant of them around? Because he's already said, this is what it's like when the Lord blesses you. That little nation of Israel. You realize God's going to keep them around. That he may scatter them, but that nation is going to be here. And I believe it's going to be here until the day he comes back. I think they're going to be basically the nation there. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, that respect him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart rejoice in him, because we've trusted in his holy name. Let the mercy of the Lord be upon us according as we hope in thee. The mercy is upon us according as we hope in him. If you're not hoping in him, don't expect his mercy. That's what we're saying. It goes in proportion to as you hope in him. Let's pray. And we're just going to get started today. But we spent a couple days, several Sundays on the curses. We all spent a little bit of time on the blessing, huh? And so we're going to do that today. So I'm going to talk this morning on living among the blessings. We've been talking about living among the curses. I want to talk about living among the blessing. I want you to get so hungry for the blessings of God that you just can't stand it. I want you to long after him with all your heart. And I want you to be so sick and tired of the curses that you don't want to ever go back to that in any area of your life. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you'll teach us some principles in here. And my guess is that since we're all sinners, and we're size full of people, there are things that are going on in our hearts. And we all have had the touch of the curse on our lives somewhere along the way. But Lord, we're going to have less and less and less as we hope in your mercy. So Lord, we thank you that you are merciful. Thank you, you are the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by you. You are our hope. So Lord, teach us your word. Teach us to love you. Teach us to seek the blessings. And now, Lord, I need your Holy Spirit to move. And we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Now, we've spent several weeks discussing the curse and how far that curse can reach into our daily lives when we fail to diligently hearken to the Word of God, to observe, to do it. We'll look at it a little bit here in Deuteronomy 28. And you can be heading that direction if you want. But simply being neutral about our faith in the Lord, neutral about whether God is, we're seeking his mercy or hoping in him, neutral in our determination to obey the Word of God, when we are just neutral, we say, well, it doesn't matter. Well, listen, that still leaves us in the wake of the curse and vulnerable to all the thorns and the snares of this world. He says we got to hearken diligently to observe, to do. That's not neutral. If we don't make a decision, choose to have a life, if we don't choose on purpose to do right, we're going to naturally do wrong. That's who we are. If we don't choose on purpose to listen to the Word of God and follow him, then we are left under the curse. Now, each of us can choose to hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord, to observe, to do all his commandments, which he commanded us, and enjoy life, and have a grateful, joyful heart, and praising spirit. Or we can choose not to, and live under the curse. And so although these scriptures I'm going to give you some scriptures here, and these were given to the Jewish nation, it's obvious, though, that in other scriptures that God is very willing to apply the same principle to any person and any nation that seeks him with their whole heart. Psalm 1 says this. In fact, these first three verses of Psalm 1, is if I ever sign somebody's Bible or whatever, it's always sign Psalm 1 through 3. They're my life verses. That's how I run my life with Psalm through the verses Psalm 1 through 3. It says this: Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He should be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's my life's verse. That's how I live my life. I'm not going to listen to the world's program, the world's philosophy, and what the world said is truth. I'm going to listen to the Word of God. And I'm going to live by the Word of God. I'm going to keep this in my mind. And listen, if you talk to me, it comes with a problem. Most times, a piece of Scripture is going to either quoted or paraphrased is going to come out of my mouth, because that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to use to make a determination and a decision on that issue by what the Word of God said, because I know the Word of God is true, and God has blessed that. He has blessed that. And so he says, that's what we need to do. He says, if that's the case, he delights in the law of the Lord. Lord, tell me what else I'm not supposed to do. Tell me what else I'm supposed to do. Because you know, when I follow the law of the Lord, then I'm going to be like a tree planted by rivers of water. Well, what's that mean? When it gets dry and everybody else is starting to wilt, I'm still doing fine. Why is that? Because God is blessing me, because I'm seeking diligently to hearken to his voice. I'm no great person. He made us all the same. I have nothing special. I just said, God says he'll bless those who live righteously. So, Lord, we're going to do that to our best ability. I'm not perfect. I don't do it always right. I have to confess my sins. And he's faithful to forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. But we have a heart after God. We do what he has to do. He says, I will bless them. And the fact is, he says, when all the drought comes, you're still going fine. God's still taking care of you. You may not have everything you used to have, but God is taking care of you. We're always going to have our needs met. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So why can't do that? I didn't have any choice, because if I had done this, I wouldn't be able to do this. Listen, if you have a choice between trying to do it on your own or do it because the way that God said do it, you have no choice. You'll do it the way God says to do it. Years ago, I mean, I know how you feel. I've had to grow. I remember thinking, these people who tithe their money, oh my soul. You know how much 10% is? I've had people say, well, you know, I make too much money to tithe 10%. And then some people say, well, I don't make enough to tithe 10%. And you know, if I make so much, you know how much 10% would be? Yeah, but you're living off a larger 90%. Now, I remember when I was scared, I'll use that term, fearful to tithe. Well, how are we going to make ends meet? This is stupid. God, you gave your brain, use it. If you don't have any money, how are you going to pay tithe and pay your bill? I said, and then as I've grown, I was like, duh. Lord says in Malachi 3, trust me, try me, prove me, saith the Lord. See, if I don't open up the windows of heaven, you'll have everything you need. Now, I'm not saying you have everything you want. You're going to have everything you need, and God will take care of you. And a lot of times, you delight yourself also in the Lord. He gives you the desires of your heart, too. He's not going to dump it on you while you're too young, and he's not going to give you so much rope you're going to hang yourself. But if you can handle it, he'll give you more. And I'm just telling you, God has done that. I'm scared not to tithe. That's where I am now. I'm not preacher talk. I'm telling you the truth. I mean, I'm scared not to tithe. Because I want the Lord's blessing. We were doing a little figuring. We give about 15% of our income. Just telling you. About 15%. A tithe is 10. We get about 15% of our income back to the Lord. I'm just saying. So, well, you know, and back times when we first came here, we weren't making much money. In fact, when we early came, we said, we pay you if there's anything left. But we tithe. What little we have, we tithe. We tithe on the gross. We tithe on the insurance that the church gives us money for. Because I would have to pay for that myself. So how do you afford to do that? I can't afford not to. I have learned over the years that God is faithful. Never once have we ever walked alone. Never once has He left us on our own. He is faithful. My God is faithful. He is. I'm not getting very far, am I? But, verse 4 of Psalm 1, the ungodly, those who aren't doing what God wants you to do, are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Again, we read in Psalm 33, the Lord says, blessed is the nation. It means the heathen, whatever nation. Not necessarily the Israelites. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The one that they hoping for their protection and their provision and to keep them safe and to guide them. The Lord, not the world. Their God is not anything else but Jehovah. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Jehovah, God. And again in 10:34, Peter opened his mouth and said, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The Lord really wants to bless people, and people want to be blessed. So what's the holdup? Our sin has separated from our God. Now go back to Deuteronomy 28. Real quick, look at verse 18. We're going to go back to number 1 here in a minute, but look at verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Sounds familiar? Not the first time we've read this. I mean, these other passages are saying the same thing. To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. In other words, the Lord is looking for opportunities to protect us from the curse. But so many of us refuse to live under His protection. But we venture out into the world, into the ways of the world, and out from underneath the Lord's hand of protection and blessing. 2 Chronicles, you don't need to turn to it, but 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. Those who are mature, who are seriously trying to seek God. All that is to say this. Well, I'll get to number 1 here in a minute. All that is to say this. God wants to bless you. But many of us are like the prodigal son, and we move away from God's blessing. We live someplace other than under the blessing of our Father. And we get out there, and we're stuck, and we're living, and we're vulnerable to the curse, and it steals everything we have. But just like the father of the prodigal son, he's looking to and fro. He sees, by the way, the Bible says that the father is kind of waiting on the porch. He saw his son coming afar off. He says, just turn around. God is saying, come on back. I want to put you back underneath the spout where the blessings are coming out. I want to do that for you. Or we can just refuse it. Number 1, the Lord has a plan for us so we can be blessed and live a relatively stress-free life. That's the truth. Now, things come into our life. They breeze through and so forth. God can't see us through the problems if there wasn't a problem to see us through. But you know what? They're not my problem. They're His problem. When I give it to Him, it's not mine. The old song says, take it to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there.
If you'll trust and never doubt, means don't take it back, he will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there.
Oh, we take our burdens to the Lord. You know what we do? We take our burdens to the Lord. You may even come to the altar and say, Lord, here it is. And in all practicality, we pick it back and take it back to the seat with us. Because we're going to go home and worry about it and fret and fume and doubt God was going to do it. We didn't leave it there. We didn't leave it there. Now, I'm not saying you don't pay your bills. I'm saying, God, you're going to have to help me here. Give me wisdom. Show me your direction. Guide me. But I'm going to wait for you to tell me what to do. Now, in the meantime, you know what you do? You get in this book. You come to church and hear the word of God spoken. You pray. You spend some time with the Lord. Seek his face. And the thing is, it might get a little pinch for a while there, but you'd be surprised. If you start doing that and you stay there, God will start blessing. Some of us have dug ourselves in such a hole that we can't even hardly see the light of day out of it. And he said, well, there's no light where I walk. I know, but let's take a step. Let's take another step. Let's work toward the light of God's word. Get a little closer. Work our way out. We didn't get there all by one day. We're going to get out of there all in one day, probably. The Lord has a plan. The Lord does not joy in seeing us live under the curse. He doesn't get a kick out seeing us living under the curse. He gets no joy out of even the death of the heathen, the wicked. The Lord doesn't want to see us hurting. The Lord has given us a way to come out from under the curse and live in his blessings. And too many people refuse the blessings by refusing to live the way the Lord has commanded us. We say, well, I want to live my way. You, sir, and you can. All by yourself. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, so you can live the way you want, but you will just live that way without the Lord's help. I'm just telling you what the Bible said. In our first verse here, in chapter 28, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass, and it shall come to pass, this will happen, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And these blessings shall come on thee. In other words, they're going to catch up with you and overtake thee. They're going to grab a hold of you if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now, we just read it. God says, this is for you. Wherever he's looking to and fro across the whole world, trying to find somebody who's willing to live by his word. And he'll find another somebody. He's looking for everybody he can to bless because God is good. His mercies endure forever. God is love. He loves us with an everlasting love. He wants, but if we are not, listen, that prodigal son left daddy and he left the love, he left the provision, he left the protection, he left the hope. All he had, he thought, well, I can handle it all by myself. But he was in the curse all by himself. Now, if you're looking in chapter 28, the first word in verse 3 is blessed. First word in verse 4 is blessed. First word in verse 5 is blessed. First word in verse 6 is blessed. And then and explain some things there, and it's going to show up again. Now, that word blessed is an interesting word. Now, the word blessed in Psalm 1, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Okay, that word blessed is a different root word, and it kind of means to make straight. That means, it means to take out all the obstacles and the problems and the pitfalls and so forth, to smooth out the way. God says, if you look for my word and do what I ask you to do, that someone is saying, he said, be honest with you, that'll make a whole lot of life easier because I'll straighten these things out. I'll bless your way. I'll cause your way to be a little straighter. Some people are struggling through life. They're walking into a headwind. He says, I will bless you. I will give grace to you, and you'll feel like you have a tailwind, and you're motoring along pretty good. And you might wonder why everybody else isn't. But God, in your little path, you're doing just fine. That's the word blessed in Psalm. The word blessed here in Deuteronomy 28 is a very interesting word. It means this: to kneel and to adore. He said, what? I'll bless thee, thou, in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. There'll be kneeling and adoring done in the city, and kneeling and adoring done in the field. What's that? And what direction is it coming? Well, it's coming from God to us. Now, I mentioned this a few times here in the last few weeks. A mother who is the authority for a child, in many ways, is often the child's servant. You take care of the child. You provide for the child. You put food in one end, and you clean it up on the other end. It drools. It cries. And yet a mother somehow adores that baby. I told my wife, wait till the kids are five years old and then bring them to me. I don't know, you know. That way they're out of diapers and everything else. I know that wasn't quite that bad. But the mother adores. She it sounds funny. She kneels. Basically, she is bowing to these kids to be their authority, to stoop to their level and adore these little kids. You know what this says? When we do things right, God, we will see God coming with us, and be honest with you, He will stoop to take care of us because He adores us. God adores you. It breaks His heart when you go off. It breaks His heart when He can't be blessing you and still instead has to let you vulnerable to the curse. It's like, I mean, there's times when we have to punish our kids and it breaks His heart. It breaks their heart, but we're going to do it because the child left to themselves will bring their mother to shame. You have to, you know, foolishness bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from them. There's times you have to discipline. You hate to have to discipline, but you do because you love them. Why do you even put up with all this? Because you adore them. You adore them. It is God, for whatever reason, adoring us so much that He wants to do whatever He can to be of benefit to us. That's what the word blessing means. Certainly not that we deserve it, but because God is love and seeks the best for us and for others, even those that are His enemy. Remember, He tells us to love our enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Well, He's not going to ask anything of us that He doesn't also do. But the Lord's not going to bless us in our sinning either, because sin hurts us. So God has a plan, and His plan is to bless you. Number two, the Lord will bless us wherever we are, if we're in the will of God. Now, in His mercy, He keeps us alive. But it's not just Him keeping us alive in the curse. He says, I want to bless you in spite of the curse. I want to bless you in the midst of all this curse. The curse may be going on, the storm may be going on around you, but I want to bless you. Look at verse 3. Blessed, knelt to and adored by God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Remember that when we said a few weeks ago? He said, cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Well, He just flipped that thing right over. You are blessed when you're out in the crowd and when you're in a protected place where there's a watchman, and you're going to be blessed when you're out all alone in the field and no one else is around you to help you. You can't outrun the blessing of God if you're doing right. God says it's going to come upon you and overtake you. Well, if I go out there, I mean, I'm probably not where I need to be, or, you know, I'm going to be scared. Watch me. The devil in the world cannot hide us from the Lord and his blessings. You cannot go beyond the boundaries of the Lord's blessings as long as you're in his will, obeying his word. If the Lord calls you to another land, you're not leaving his blessing. Watch. When I was in Maryland, I was in a good spot in a good church. And I could have stayed there. And I believe God would have blessed. But God very clearly, and again, we'll talk about this too eventually, impressed upon my heart that we weren't where we were supposed to be and that God was going to lead us to someplace else. So we're preparing our hearts to leave. Now, I left a place. I had a nice job. I was an assistant pastor, music director at a large church, ran 1,800 to 2,000 people. We had a little over 3,000 square foot home that I had designed and built in the woods and on a lot that I had looked at ever since I was a kid. Lord had blessed. I was finally making enough money to be able to, to kind of live and so forth, and we were doing just fine. But the Lord said, I think I want you to go. And he made it very clear that I was supposed to go to Dover. Now watch me. Well, wasn't that awful? Why would you do that? Because that's where the Lord's will is. Watch me. I was not leaving the blessing of God to go out of the blessing of God. I was leaving the blessing of God to go into the blessing of God. See what I'm saying? He had blessed me there, and now he was moving me on. If a missionary, he goes someplace in crazy words, and, well, that's a terrible thing. No, he's moving into the blessing of God. He's moving back in. The water spout, the blessing where the blessing comes out, has moved over here. So I'm going to come over here and get underneath of it. You see what I'm saying? Well, this looks like it's going to make life difficult. But it doesn't matter, because this is where the blessing is. And God supersedes the curse. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, Jesus said. I have overcome the world. What's he saying? I've overcome the curse. I've overcome the mess. I am bigger than they are. Listen, there's no king that's been saved by his own strength or the horse or the chariot. If God wants to turn you over, he can knock you down just by telling his people to walk around the city for 7 days. And then say, hey, we won! Crash. Jehoshaphat marched in with the choir ahead. And by the time they got there, the battle was already over. They had fought themselves. It was gone. So that's just great. Listen, I'm just telling you, I've lived like this for 50 years. And I've seen God bless. Now he says, I'll bless thou shalt out in the city and bless you in the field. The best and safest place a person can be is in the center of the God's will. Obey the known will of God, his commands and his statutes, and the Lord will help you understand the finer things and the more personal will of God. Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. In other words, don't be afraid. God's merciful. I beseech you therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may demonstrate, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What's he saying? You want to know the will of God? Then you have to surrender to the will of God. Oh, well, as soon as I know it, I'll decide whether I want to. No. If you want to know the will of God, you've got to surrender to the will of God now, and he'll be showing you his will. Well, that sounds rather dangerous. No, it's called stepping under the spout where the blessings come out. You see, when I surrender to God's will, I am now putting myself under the spout. Now, watch me. Some people say, well, I understand all that, but they don't want to obey the word that they do know. Don't gossip. That's in the Bible. You realize some people are hindering the blessing of God because they can't keep their mouth shut? I'm serious. Some of you are fighting with your spouse. And God says, you got to get that straightened out so your prayers be not hindered. You're going to have a blessed marriage if you're sitting there fighting with each other all the time. There's some things we need to straighten out. You straighten out what you do know. That's what he's saying. Surrender yourselves as a living sacrifice. Well, I don't like this, but it's not my life. This is what God wants me to do with my life. I'm supposed to love those that hate me. I'm supposed to know my wife, dwell with my wife according to the knowledge. I need to get to know her. I need to raise my kids with some discipline, not mean, not nasty, not anger, but discipline. It doesn't always mean that you're going to paddle them. When they're really little, it might mean that because they don't understand anything else, but you're not going to beat them to death. You do this, little kid, and they know you're mad, they cry. If you're playing, you can do it as hard as you want, and they laugh. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't the pain. It was the discipline of the heart. And, of course, that only works if they already know you love them. So make sure they know you love them. Then when they're upset with them, it hurts. They won't do that again. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him, which is your reasonable service. He said, I'll show you the will of God. And when you get in the will of God, you're under the spout where the blessings come out. I'm going to stop there. I didn't get as far as I did for the early service. One more point there, it's time to go. We got lots of blessings here. I want you to want God. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul panteth after thee. That scripture tells us, I want to get to the point where I am so thirsty to know what God wants me to do because I want God to bless. I want to be under the bless. I want to be out from underneath the curse. And I want to be under the blessings. The nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We've been running on momentum for about 60 years. In the 1960s, we decided we don't want to hear in our prayers, in our schools, and in the government. We want to hear His word. We don't want to hear what He has to say. And our nation officially, and little by little, these generations have grown up without that influence. And then they've raised kids. And they never had the influence themselves. They certainly, most of them aren't going back and doing that. And so now we've got several generations, about every 20 years. So that's three generations. And that's why in 1973, they decided it didn't matter if you kill a baby. Now, I have looked for this. I've heard this from someone who lives in Maryland. Somebody said that Maryland just passed a law that a baby, you can leave a baby die, if you will, up to 28 days after it's born. Now, I don't know. I hope that's not the case. But they said they passed it kind of behind the scenes, kind of like the Democrats did that last spending bill of several trillion dollars. They did it at 2 o'clock in the morning. They did it. There was the last bill that they just passed. They did it at 2 o'clock in the morning. They didn't give anybody any warning. At a little after 12, they sent out a text when everybody was sleeping and said, we're going to take the vote. But they made sure that all the ones that they had to vote the way they're going to vote, the way they want to vote, got the message. And they all showed up in there and took a vote about 2, 2:30 in the morning and passed this spending bill, this $1 trillion spending bill. Listen, our nation turns back. That's why we're scared right now. We're scared about our economy. We're scared about, you know, what in the world Putin going to do. Is he going to break us down in cyber attacks and all those kind of things? Listen, when our nation turns itself back to the Lord, and it can, it did it before, God's hand of blessing will be back on us. See, everybody, as a whole, they're all, you know, none of us are perfect. But I will say this, though. Even when everybody else, even all everybody in our nation goes sour, you personally can walk with him and have his blessing under, even while everybody else is being cursed around you. You personally can have that. Now, that's how you win a nation, one person at a time. And preach the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you all the way. See, we forget these principles. Jesus said exactly the same thing when I'm preaching here out of the Old Testament. Except the fact that we can lead them to the Lord and they can have the Holy Spirit inside their heart and actually have the power to live right. If they'll yield to the Holy Spirit, let them do it. We've got it easy. And so what do? We just don't take it.